again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. My battery's not working, so I'll get a different one after. If you can't hear me, just raise your hand, and maybe I'll see it. I'll give it my best shot. The title of the lesson this morning is just, you're going to teach me to be thankful. You think after we just went through a day or two of reminder to be thankful, but still we recognize some things we just need to be reminded of over and over again. One of those reminders is always to be thankful. So we'll kind of give another lesson this week on Thanksgiving. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. I know some have been looking ahead. They've already noticed I spelled a word incorrectly. Point number 4. I'm not sure what that word is that I typed, but it's detestable that I typed it that way. But that's what the word's supposed to be. So let's take a look at the attitude of gratitude in our lesson this morning. By way of introduction, we just want to note that we're taught to be thankful, and we're taught to be thankful by admonition and by example. In Colossians 2, verse 7, it even uses that phrase, as you have been taught, abound therein with thanksgiving. Seems like thanksgiving doesn't come natural. We're just not born to be thankful. Someone had to give us some instruction along the way. You know, this is what you say, or this is what you do. In Colossians 3, verse 15, this is, be ye thankful. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And the list goes on. Be thankful. We see that in examples and lives of many Bible people. I just listed a few for you. In the life of Jesus, in Matthew 11, that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And then he continues his thanksgiving. David said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Daniel gave thanks 3 times a day, the scripture says. Of course, the Apostle Paul, he gave thanks always, he says, and over again. And one phrase, he says, I thank my God in my remembrance of you, the brethren. So we want to, in our lesson today, how may I develop an attitude of gratitude? Teach me to be thankful. Number one, just remember to never forget. Just remember to not forget. Psalm 103, verse 2, that's the verse. Forget not all his benefits. Don't forget. The story of Joseph is very familiar with Joseph and the butler in prison in Egypt. They had hopes of getting out. So they kind of made a pact between the two of them. In Genesis 40, verse 14, Joseph said, think on me when it shall be well with you. In other words, when you get out of here, don't forget me. Think on me when things get better for you. He says, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house. Oh, but the story continues. The butler did find release. But in verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Oh. Want to remember me? Yeah, but I forgot. One of the 10 lepers that came back that was cleansed remembering, and those who can receive without forgetting. Yeah. And I've heard people say over and over again, it's never too late to say thanks. Sometimes wonder, you know, it's been weeks or months or sometimes it might even be years. I received something and wonder if I ever said thank you for that. You know, it's too late now. Never too late, because I'm guessing the one that gave remembers that he didn't say that. So even years later, well, wouldn't it be a blessing to them that they're thinking, you still remember that I gave that to you, and you're saying thank you? Oh, thank you. Because I remember you didn't say that. Number two, don't major on your troubles. Count your blessings in one of our songs. Not your blights. Not your blessings. You know how often we date things based on a tragedy? Oh, we remember something in our past. Oh, that was the year I had that accident. That was the year the tornado came through and blew our house out. We sometimes remember things based upon tragedy, not. We'd like to think there's so many good things in our life, and certainly can't we remember something then that took place? Fanny J. Crosby is an author of many of the songs in our hymnal. She didn't major on her troubles. Fanny J. Crosby was blind. One of my favorite songs in the book has this phrase in it that she wrote. The song is titled A Wonderful Savior. And one phrase in the song reads, with numberless blessings, each moment he crowns. Destroyed me, you're blind. This says, numberless blessings, each moment he crowns. We can even be grateful for some troubles. For some things that inconvenience us, we can still be thankful for that. I remember a little boy in elementary school. He was thankful for his glasses. Said, why are you thankful for your glasses? He said, well, they keep the boys from fighting me and the girls from kissing me. So I'm thankful for my glasses. We need to just firmly believe in Romans 8, verse 20, and all things work together for good. To those that love the Lord, those are called according to his purpose. Don't major on your troubles. Number three, in similar fashion, count the blessings you do have rather than concentrating on what you don't have. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8 says, having food and raiment, therewith, let's be content. In other words, are your needs being met? In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, be content with the things that you have. So often we remember the things with which, or we fail to remember the things with which we're blessed. I saw an article in the church bulletin. Then a mother and a father gave a sizable gift to the congregation in memory of their son who was killed in the war. And when the gift was announced, the mother in the audience whispered to her husband, let's give a similar amount for our son. The husband said, but our boy didn't lose his life. The mother replies, that's the point. Let's give it as an expression of gratitude for sparing his life. The mother had not lost sight of the fact of what she had. But we sing, count your many blessings. And then elect the next phrase of the song. Name them. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And then that phrase it, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. Right. But we have to stop and So consider how detestable ingratitude really is. In the Bible, there are two places, I listed them for you, that the writer gives a catalog or a listing of horrible things. Some of those things in that list are criminal. Just wretched. And then it's interesting, right in the middle of that list, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and neither were they thankful. And I look at that list and I think, I wouldn't be any of the other things. I wouldn't even associate myself with people who do those things. And yet right in the middle is neither were they thankful. Unthankfulness, ingratitude is associated with this list of detestable things. Same thing in 2 Timothy 3, beginning of verse 1. Know this also, the verse begins, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be, and then it gives a list of what will characterize this population. And right in the middle it says, unthankful. And the last phrase is, the such turn away. Turn away from people. They're just unthankful. So look at the list that is associated with it. So consider how detestable ingratitude really is. Number five, in teaching someone to be gracious or thankful, is to practice expressing it. Practice. Say it. Number one, just say it verbally. We're instructed to give thanks, not just think thanks. Don't just wish thanks. I wish they knew how thankful I was. I'll say it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. And remember, we all know as parents, we're so impressed with the necessity of saying thanks anytime our children receive something. Many times we jump in as parents before the child has a chance to say thanks. What do you say? What do you say? Then express your thanks. Say it and live it. Especially in our relationship with God. Thank you, God. Well, now live a life of thanks. Show God how thankful you are for bountiful blessings from above. David asked in Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What can I give back? And many times in our prayers, we even say, we speak about the matchless gift of God. You know, we almost pray, God, what can I do? How many times can I say it? God wants to hear from us. With our words and with our life. Say it and show it. Number six. Put in your notes, just have a reminder, don't take the commonplace things in life for granted. I think sometimes, this goes along with some of the other things we've already said, but sometimes we're thankless because we're thoughtless. You know, think and thank come from the same root word. So when we think about the blessings we have, we need to say thanks. And in our thinking, it's so easy to overlook everyday items and be unthankful. We just don't express it. Because we think, oh, this is just commonplace. These are everyday things. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank God for the things we enjoy. And count them again. Number seven. Avoid overemphasizing the luxuries of life. If you overemphasize the luxuries of life, you might become very discouraged and discontented. If you're only going to look at those who have that mansion on the hill, Jesus told the story, and he closes the story out with a man who thought he had everything. I need to build bigger barns to store my stuff. And so Jesus talked about that man, and he dies. And then the lesson he gives in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Our life is more than our possessions. I saw another article in a bulletin from years ago. I cut it out. A story about an aged Christian. An older Christian. He was called upon by the tax collector to determine the amount of taxes that should be paid. So when asked, "What property do you have?" the aged Christian stated, "Well, I'm a very wealthy man." Tax collector gets happy. And he said, "Okay, list some of your list, start listing your possessions." The aged Christian man did. He said, "I have remission of sins. I have a mansion being prepared for me in heaven. I have a peace that passes understanding. I have joy unspeakable. I have divine love that never fails. I have a crown of life. I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who supplies all my needs." And the tax collector closes his book. "Indeed, friends, you are a very wealthy man." Number 8, do away with murmuring and complaining. We read about the Old Testament people, the Israelites. They murmured quite often. They suffered for that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first 9 verses give a brief historical account of Israel's murmurings. And then the Apostle Paul gives the warning to his audience, the Christians in Corinth, and he says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed." Think murmuring is of no consequence. I mean, I'd like to have my time to kind of grumble and gripe and stomp a little bit and feud and fumble and spit. Philippians 2, verse 14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputing." There's a time you need to stop. Stop the complaining. Stop the murmuring. The grumbling. The griping. The feuding. The fussing. And these other things. How do I develop an attitude of gratitude? Give you a list of 9 things here. The last one, realize you're a recipient. So don't forget the giver. God, well, I look at all the things I've been given. But, oh, thank you. Don't forget to look up. Don't forget. I want to stop this story. I don't have it in my notes. Father and his son were going to raid the apple orchard at their neighbor's house. Dark at night, they both slip through the fence and get over in the orchard. They start picking up the apples, and the dad keeps looking around this way and that way. And the son says, "What are you doing, Dad?" He says, "I'm just looking to make sure nobody's watching." And the son says, "Well, Dad, there's one direction you forgot to look." Dad says, "Oh, yeah. Which direction is that?" He says, "Dad, you forgot to look up." When we receive something, don't steal apples. When you receive, I've been given life, health, family, talent, 2:11 says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So don't forget God. Thank you. The song we sang, ready for the lesson. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me. Thank you. The last thing, before we go to a close, we need to pray. Heavenly Father, you've given me so much. Please give me one more thing. That's a thankful heart. Give me that. Look at everything I have. Oh, that's right. Thank you. Thank you. That's the lesson this morning. Developing an attitude of gratitude. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Here this morning, you're not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a New Testament Christian. You have not been baptized for remission of sins. You had that opportunity this morning. So at the close of the song, we repeat the simple plan or formula or steps in becoming a Christian. And we outline them this way. Number one, we say you need to hear the gospel, the good news message, that God so loved the world, he sent a son. Okay, Brian, I've heard that. What else? Well, now you need to believe that. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So you need to hear the good news, and then you need to believe the Bible good news message. Then number three, according to Jesus, you'll need to repent of your sins. Turn your life around. Take the direction you're going so much. I need to be heaven bound. So you repent. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, repent or perish. I don't want to perish. So now that I've heard the word, oh, thank you. Well, God, I believe, count on me. What? Live it. Repent. Then number four, you'll want to confess your faith. That Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did to Philip. Philip preached to him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. And in preaching Jesus, the Ethiopian interrupts his sermon, says, here's water. Anything hindering me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And the Ethiopian made a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip said, stop the chariot. And that's number five. They both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. The Spirit of the Lord catches away Philip and he's found in another city. So there's a simple plan or formula or steps, a procedure, ingredients that are required for one to become a Christian. And then from that point on, you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and present yourself before him in worship and work. And so we sing a song of encouragement. There may be one here this morning that wants to do that. If that's your resolve, if that's your desire, you can do that anytime. Just call me. We can make arrangements. So why not now? So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.